Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to AM580, The Information Advantage, and that's going to do it for Morning Edition. Thanks very much for starting your day with us this morning. Next, we have our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time in Kansas City. July wheat opened at 8:01¾, up 3 on the open. September 8:15, up 3. At the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 7:56, up 3½ on the open. September 7:70, up 2¼. December 7:94, up 4½ on the open. July corn opened at 5.97, down 2¾ on the open. September 6:09½, down 3¼. December 6:25, down 2¼. March of 2009, 6:35½, down 4¾. May 6:41½, down 6¾. December 6:12½, down 2 on the open. July soybeans opened at 13.75, up 7 on the open. August 13.73, up 3. November 13.59, up 5½. January 13.70, up 3. March 13.86, up 8¼. May 13.87, up 4. November of 2009, 13.50, up 1½ on the open. July soybean meal opened at 3.36, down 60 on the open. August 3.38.50, up 50. July soybean oil open at 64.20, up 64 on the open. August 64.15, up 30. Then CME livestock, June live cattle, 96.17½, unchanged on the open. August feeders, 115.75, up 52½ on the open. June lean hogs, 77.80, down 5 on the open. And July pork bellies at 76 even, up 2½ on the open.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Why, good morning, Dave.
Well, we see in the Financial Times in the last day or so a report that says Taiwan, Malaysia, and Indonesia are all planning on lowering subsidies and raising prices of energy in their countries, which could, I suppose, cool demand. Is that one of the primary reasons we're down today in the crude oil?
Well, I mean, it doesn't hurt anything, Dave. I mean, you know, we have to remember where we've been here at all-time highs, really moved up. We just got through the Memorial Day weekend. You know, maybe we saw a little bit of cutback in some usage over the weekend at a lot of these gas stations. These prices, I think there's a lot of people that didn't travel, and maybe the consumption wasn't as high either.
And another factor, I suppose, might be the U.S. dollar on the old crude oil?
Yeah, I mean, basically, as we look here, dollar gaining a little strength today. We're up 20 cents, not near what we've lost in the last few days. Still down on 72.32, but is a little bit of help. It helps out a little bit.
Well, then let's ask you what your expectations then for crude oil is over the next month or so. Is this a market that feels toppy to you, and are we set for a setback, and if so, to what levels?
I wish I could say yes. The fact of the matter comes down to we've got the long summer ahead of us here, Dave. We've got the hurricane forecast come out, looking for I think 5 hurricanes to hit the U.S., 3 major hurricanes possibly in the hurricane predictions. That is a factor yet to we have to see if it does happen and hit some of our oil rigs or refineries along the coast. So, honestly, I think we're more in a choppy to uptrend than we are in a downtrend from here on in. So that's pessimistic, but reality is that it is a very strong market at this point in time.
That's sort of why I put a 30-day cap on my question, because I'm wondering if we might be in a short-term downtrend before the choppy decided to expire.
We could always hope any downtrend in crude is good for a lot of things. I mean, just for the simple fact that, we're seeing so many industries, everything we have and handle and everything is affected by the freight rates. Our outlook for exports, the export market, the freight rates on any of our grains or any products we have are tremendously high.
A lot of producers have been blessed with pretty good conditions in the harvest season, and I'm thinking as specifically in terms of corn drying. And given how the year has started, one might wonder whether or not they'll enjoy those kind of conditions this fall, which brings me back to ideas about propane and what to do there. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, number one, we are getting planted later, but we are having hybrids that do seem to dry down better than we had in the past. 10 years ago, Dave, which is a definite that way. The other thing is, if you look at your long-range forecast, the summer looks and tends to, or the tendencies of all the long-term forecasters are looking for a little drier summer. We're starting wet, but they look for us to have a dry July and August. And that would help a little bit with the corn maturing and also the dry down. So I don't know that we're going to get into a lot more drying situations than we had in the past, but propane is going to stay high. Hopefully maybe it will slow down a little bit in the main thing. But for right now, we're going to have to just say the propane is probably going to stay on the high side.
Let's turn our attention then to the grain markets. And let me ask you this. Has the price action in the last couple of weeks forced out most of the weak position holders?
Yes, I think that's true. And also, if we looked at the Commitment of Traders report, we saw some of the index funds lightening their loads and the long positions shifting more over to traditional fund traders as of such now, Dave. So, the choppiness of it all has definitely been hard on the small trader.
Will corn basis firm due to a lack of farming selling at this point?
Well, right now it's we would like to think that it will, but I don't think they're in a real hurt position as far as corn and moving into a lot of the markets. I think in a lot of the cases we will see the ethanol plants will tighten their basis on a local level, but not so much because, like we talked about, the high ocean freights. I'm not sure that our corn exports are going to exceed what they're looking for. The big news, of course, is what bean exports will do out of the Pacific Northwest with this non-progress or the end of progress of talks in Argentina.
The reason I bring up the basis is I wonder whether or not elevators might think that the wide spread that they're seeing in old crop is attractive for going ahead and picking some up.
Well, I think that the elevators are going to see, they're going to be very careful because this basis has got a lot wider than it ever used to get. And it seems to want to stay a little bit wider here now. And part of that is just the expense of hedging grain.
Turn your attention to the bean basis. What are you looking for there in the next few 3 weeks?
Well, I think old crop beans continue to stay tight and maybe get tighter. The new crop beans, I think, about where we're at.
Does the basis continue to firm if beans rally above $14?
If the Argentine situation stays the way it is and as tight as the U.S. stocks are, I would have to say that would be the case.
Turn your attention to NAS and its report this afternoon. I suppose traders are going to take a close look at emergence rates at this point. What are they likely to see?
Well, I think they're going to see a little slower numbers than what bears would like to see because of the cold weather. We're not seeing real good emergence on the beans. We've talked to two or three people this morning. They're talking about possibly replanting some beans because they aren't coming up good. They're going to give them 3-4 more days and then possibly return to the field and replant them again, Dave. So I think the emergence rates are behind.
Talking to folk where?
Well, that would be around the Indianapolis area.
And go ahead and give us your thoughts on wheat and whether or not we might have reached a short-term low in here on ideas that perhaps Australia's wheat crop is not going to go into the ground as well as it would like.
Well, it is dry in Australia, and you know, that's been the big wild card the last few years, that Australia didn't come up with a good wheat crop, and we would like to have had some much more substantial rains down there. So, you know, that is a very positive aspect. We talked to a lot of our wheat growers down in the Mid-South, and basically said, you know, we've got a tremendous crop, but it is going to be somewhat hard to get too bearish this crop right now with the way things are going down in Australia without rain.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Talk to you again this afternoon.
Thank you, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in Newmarket, Indiana. And I did mean Australia when I said Argentina. Let's go ahead and look at the current tick. July wheat is at $8.50, up 2¾ at the Chicago Board of Trade. Of course, that was the Kansas City. At July wheat in the Chicago Board of Trade at $7.59, up 6½. December, $7.94, up 4½. July corn, $5.96½, down 3¼. December, $6.24, down 3¼. July beans, $13.66, down 2. November, $13.54, and that is up 1½. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois. We're on the web for you 24/7 at WILLAG.org. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.